The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that week, time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And we're recording, yes, it's the Christmas period here in Colombia. The lights are up in Bogota, and I'm sure they're in Medellin. I'm sure the very famous Alumbrado of Medellin is already lit up and drawing in tourists from all around. Why do I say Medellin in this episode 212? Well, there are very special guest Simon Willis, who's originally from Barnsley in Yorkshire, that's in the UK, but he's in Medellin, and we've got him on the line, and he'll be talking about, well, his work as a travel journalist, and indeed he's just started up a small outfit called Kagumu Adventures, which focuses on sort of school trips to Colombia, which I would imagine is a very interesting, certainly if not difficult, let's say, pitch to sell, given Colombia's reputation changing, of course, but trying to get school trips to Colombia is certainly quite an exciting thing to be doing. So let's just, without further ado, let's say welcome, Simon. Welcome on Columbia Calling.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me. Yeah, as you say, the lights are lit up here. Since October, we've had Christmas trees and lights all around the city. So. It's very much Christmas time, yeah.
Since October? That's a bit early for me. I mean, you know, they take their Christmas pretty seriously here, but October, I think, is premature.
Premature, but, yeah, I mean, they love it here. I think it was my next-door neighbour put it up pretty much the same time as Halloween. I think she had one part of the door with a skeleton and the other Christmas decoration. So, yeah, that's Medellin.
Your neighbor in Medellin. So basically, there was a pumpkin, but also with like a Father Christmas on top.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I suppose, you know, you can get into the swing of things and stuff. But let's go back to the very beginning, though, here, Simon. What brought you to Colombia in the first place? You're a freelance travel journalist. We've worked together on the Brat Guide, the last edition, and so on. So that's how we got to know one another. But what brought a boy from Barnsley to Medellin?
Well, I actually lived in Buenos Aires in Argentina, and three of my housemates were from Bogota, and they convinced me that Colombia was the most beautiful country in the world that I had to visit, so I did. I actually chose Medellin because my former student lived here, so she invited me to stay for 3 months with her and her family, which is not an uncommon thing here. As soon as you enter the city, you're part of the family. So I stayed for 3 months with her. I volunteered at a website, Columbia Reports.
Yeah.
And then I got to know a bit about Columbia's history, learned a bit of Spanish, and then, started doing trips and writing about new adventures, cultures, and writing a few guides about Colombia.
Yeah. And so you volunteered at Columbia Reports with the crazy Adrian El Selma. How was that?
It was really good, really good. One of the best things, like I said, was learning about the Colombian history, but also just being part of the team and going on trips with my work colleagues, getting to know Adrian, obviously, getting to know how this business works. And yeah, it was 3 months of, it was a lot of fun. And the things I learned were, I think it really set me up for life in Colombia.
Yeah.
That's for a better start, really.
Well, that's high praise to Adrian, and may he soon return to Colombia, because he's stuck in Holland at the moment due to legal issues.
He is. I've not heard from him in a while, but I see if he posts on Facebook now and again.
I believe he's working in an anarchist-like bookshop or record store in Holland while his papers come through to return to Colombia.
Is he?
I think so.
Surprise,
no. Well, I'm glad we've got that guy in common, because he's like a what do you call it? I would call him like crazy glue that sticks so many of us together.
You go, especially in Medellin, you go, do you know Adrian? I know Adrian.
Of course you know Adrian.
Of course Adrian, so.
Yeah,
I know he's one of the biggest characters here. But get him back.
Get him back, we need him. We need his Columbia reports up and his editorials. Well, anyway, we've had enough about Adrian. I've had him on the show twice. We don't need to talk about him any more than that. But if you've got a few dollars, kicking around, and listeners out there, Columbia Reports is independent, and it always requires, a contributor, contributions, from its readers and so on and so forth to keep the website running. But we're talking to Simon Willis here, who's in Medellin, and we've been talking about Christmas and so on. But Simon, so you were in Argentina, you came up to Colombia, you live with this family. You're an honorary paisa.
I am, yeah. For almost 5 years has been here. So although I've traveled a lot, Medellin's always been my base. More than the arepa, as they would say here.
Arepas.
But the beauty about here is it's linked very well with other cities and destinations. So although I am based here, it's like the ideal place to explore Colombia. So I think I chose well.
Although
I do love Bogota, and it's cultural offerings and things like this, but I think I chose well for my job.
Yeah, and I think that Medellin overall is it's a happier city than Bogota, which obviously makes a big difference if you're going to live there.
It does, yeah. The weather helps, although this year we've had, incessant rain. I mean, the temperature is always perfect, and people do seem happier. But it is good to travel. It's kind of you get in a bubble like with any city, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's good to get out and explore the second most biodiverse country in the world. So, why not?
So you're right on point there. What about relatively new project that you have, Kagumu Adventures? Tell us about this. I mean, you obviously sent me an email saying this is what you're doing. It does sound very exciting. How did this come about?
As you mentioned, I am a travel writer, so I've traveled to a few places in Colombia, written about some adventures and especially how tourism affects different communities and nature. So, I mean, I had some amazing experiences, amazing trips into Santa Marta, for example, La Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta, visiting indigenous communities. Especially, I spent a lot of time with the Wiwa community. So we traveled with G Adventures, actually, to Peru, to Machu Picchu, to train a group of three brothers, so they could start their own business, or not start their own business, but improve their own business, which is Wiwa Tours in the Lost City. So their aim was to create a more sustainable experience. And the projects we visited were just like phenomenal. I could see both how tourism had negative effects on the community and the environment, and the positive effects. And although I wrote a few articles about this, it was kind of like, I don't know what impact I am actually having with a few articles. So I thought, well, maybe I could set up a travel agency, a tour operator, whereby we take travelers, tourists, and school children to visit these places, to open their eyes to the same things that I saw, how tourism affects these places, how they can have a positive impression, a positive impact on the lives of others. You rarely see or you rarely understand how much of an impact you can have, but it really is huge. Just your presence there can affect a community in the long term. It's remarkable. So yeah, I set my company up there, aiming to open people's eyes to this and help them become more sustainable travelers and more sustainable livers as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about this. Tell me a little bit about this Wiwa community. What are they like? I know my listeners will be fascinated by this, but some of them won't be able to picture or imagine the Wiwa people.
Yeah, so the Wiwa community, they're part of four indigenous communities that live in and around La Sierra Nevada Santa Marta. And they, at the minute, they're, certain parts of the community are involved in the Lost City Trek, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of. It's Ciudad Perdida, the four-day trek. But spending time with them, one of the main themes of they have spiritual meetings, for example, in the communities, which can go on for days. Mm. So not even just hours, these meetings can go on for days. And one of the main themes that I've seen, I've heard of, is how they will welcome outsiders into their community, how they will welcome them into their territory, and how this will affect their culture in the future. So their main aim is to protect Mother Nature. This is they don't have a traditional god. They believe in the power of nature and that they are there to protect it, and they need to teach us as well how to protect nature. So their themes, their concerns are very much based on this, and they are very aware of what impacts we have when we visit them. So it's a concern, but they're managing it. That was one of the main reasons they contacted G Adventures, because they'd seen them manage a lot of projects really well. And so they wanted to really, really create a sustainable trip whereby the impact would be lessened and they would be able to continue with their traditions, their customs, which if you go to La Sierra Nevada Santa Marta, you can see everywhere. It's not like going to Machu Picchu, where, in my opinion, I know it's a great site and people fall in love with it, but traveling with the Wiwa, they actually told me that they didn't feel that the sacredness of the place was still there. It kind of disappeared. Yeah, in La Sierra Nevada Santa Marta, it's still there, it's still present, and they desperately want to keep hold of this.
Well, I think that can be... Okay. I think that you're right on this one. I think there's a lot to be said about what you're mentioning in this. And I think that that's fascinating that you should have seen, let's say, Machu Picchu experience with them. And so they're right... They're ensuring that there's an authenticity still to their practices and to their culture by protecting it.
Exactly. Mm. And although we're actually working with another indigenous community up there, which is the Arawakos. Mm-hmm. The Arawakos, live in the same territory in La Sierra, and they have very much similar beliefs. Mm-hmm. And one of our trips is to kind of show that as outsiders we take interest in their culture. We don't want to come and destroy it. We want to learn from it. We want to share our cultural experiences with them. So it's taken like a year and a half to create this kind of cross-cultural learning experience where we share our beliefs with their beliefs. Mm. They share their traditions of bag weaving, for example. and cook in with, yeah, and they share it with us. So we cook with them, we bring in the food as well. And it's a very, it's very much kind of an even keel, whereby we're sharing the same experience together. Whereas other trips that I've seen, maybe you go and it's kind of a division, and it's kind of more of a show rather than a shared experience, which is really, really what we're trying to create here.
Excellent. So if I get this right, I mean, they pretty much approached you then, G Adventures, and then through that, Kagumu. So you, I mean, that's a very flattering position to be in.
Yeah, so basically G Adventures inspired me to begin what I'm doing. I've seen a lot of their good projects, what they're doing. But yeah, I felt that I had the capacity, the knowledge to start my own company. And especially with the group of friends that I have here, they are all adverse in different sustainable practices, be it, I don't know, anthropology or responsible consumption, reforestation. So kind of using my own knowledge, the knowledge of my friends, that we can really create these kind of trips.
That's amazing. Well, my hat is off to you. Remind us and the listeners of the Kagumu's website, please.
Kagumuadventures.com.
Very easy. So you can get through that. And I spoke to you recently before we got onto the line here, and you had been taking a group. I mean, because I want to get into this a little bit. You know, I've given a talk to students who came, to high school students from the U.S. who came with, I guess it's the New York Times travel kind of experiences for young people. So they were all about 16 and 15. I mean, that was pretty amazing that Americans would come down and do that. So I had to give a chat about the reality of politics in Colombia and tone it down a bit because these guys are 15 and 16. But I thought it was kind of amazing that a group at this age would come to Colombia, but you are actually actively bringing school groups to Colombia to take them out into the countryside, into areas which were previously out of bounds. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, you were in rural Antioquia, so not too far from Medellin, but in a region which has seen some problems. You had, was it Chilean students, were they?
It was, yeah. And yeah, you're exactly right with the concerns that you just said there. Those were the concerns that we had to overcome. It took a long time to assure parents, especially, that it's okay to send their kids to Colombia. Well, if you think about it, Colombia, like you say, is the reputation is getting better. It has been getting better over the last decade. There's a lot of travelers come in. But what we see is kind of a development. First of all, you get backpackers, you get travelers. Then you maybe get luxury travelers, families. But at the very end, you'll get school trips.
Yeah.
You'll get school children because if you see all the negative press they get, or Colombia gets in the States, in Europe, then for a parent to send their children to Colombia, they would be perceivably at risk. We know that we have done risk assessments here, and our trips are totally safe. So there's no problem, but it's understandable that parents would feel a bit of apprehension to send their little 14-year-old Johnny to Colombia for 2 weeks or a week, going in the Andean jungle and going to previously dangerous areas, or so-called dangerous areas in Medellin. But we overcame this. We had a group of 23 students from Chile, from Santiago. It was an international school, so we actually had one of them was actually from Colombia. The others were from other parts of the world, but went to school in Santiago. It was a 7-day trip based on the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So we tried to, it was not just a trip where you go and do the tourist sites. We had a mission to yeah, to create a sustainable experience for them to learn about responsible consumption, whereby they visited an organic farm, cooked their own meal, a responsible meal, a sustainable meal, took part in a reforestation project, visited a couple of neighborhoods here in Medellin, and I have to say the experience was excellent for us and for them. From the reflections, from the testimonials they gave to us, they learned a lot. And one of the biggest themes, one of the biggest answers was, before we came on this trip, maybe our parents were quite apprehensive about sending us here, but now we can see that it was perfectly fine, and they basically encouraged, more students to come, which obviously we hope will happen in the future.
That's incredible. I mean, that's been a real success story for you to be able to convince an international school to come to Colombia and take them out into the wilds and get them to see and experience. And how cool that one of the international students is actually from Colombia. I mean, coming back to see his own country. I think that's really amazing. And I can only imagine how exhausting your, the risk assessment, how exhausting that must be to ensure you say, listen, everything's fine.
It is, yeah.
How do you do something like that? Do you have to hire outside assessment?
Well, we've been planning this trip for nearly 2 years, and so it was a 7-day trip, although 2 days traveling, so it's really only 5 days. But it's taken 2 years of constant visiting communities. You know, here one of the challenges of tourism or traveling here in Colombia is working with the communities, because it's not as advanced in tourism as Peru or Brazil or Ecuador. So you've really got to create relationships with the people you visit, the communities you visit, the projects you visit. And that was basically what we've been doing for the last 2 years. So we were assessing the risk with the communities. We can't just do it alone. We have to work with communities. They have to tell us or advise us what to do, where to go, how to do it. And we use our expertise. We work CASH trips. This was a CASH trip as well, which is an international school trip. So we provided the trip for them. And they have experience in risk assessment. So we use their policies and work with the communities here. And it was a long 2 years, but it was all worth it. And now we have this trip, we have it set up, we are successful. So long may it continue, and we're welcoming schools from all over South America and the future North America and Europe too.
Excellent that this should come into fruition, and everything went according to plan. Of course, there were no security issues that you faced, and that's why we can talk about this. We're talking on the positive side of things. You're not telling me that people were kidnapped. You're not telling me that people were mugged. You're not telling me anything else. You're telling me this went really well. We are the people who... You can do this. We are the group. We are the outfitter for student groups, and that's very cool indeed. And that's a brave venture. It's a brave venture.
I don't know if it was. What we set out to achieve.
Yeah.
Like I say, it was working with the communities, working with my work colleagues, my friends who are all experts in different areas, like I said, made it a lot easier than it could have been.
Yeah.
And it was all, like you say, there was no security issues, everything went fine, but what made it really worthwhile were the reflections. So after each day, we'd have reflections from the students talking about what they've learned. And we have one girl from Venezuela who we visited Comuna 13. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard about Comuna 13 in San Javier, which is
now got the outside escalated. It's now a big tourism draw. It's got some really good tours there, and the tour guide that we had was really great in explaining how the area has developed.
Yeah.
And it was quite poignant because the situation that Comuna Trece was in, all those years ago, was kind of like parts of Venezuela now, and it said that it gave her hope for the future, that it can change. Things are not going to stay like this forever. So to hear words like this really did make it all worthwhile.
Excellent. I mean, properly reinforcing that change can occur, can be brought about. Phenomenal. And of course, none of this would have been possible, I have to say. I mean, you've been working on this, let's say, for 2 years to get this group, ensuring the security, ensuring all of the other issues that come to mind, the obvious ones. All of my listeners will know what they are. But at the same time, none of this would have actually come about without, let's say, this, like it or hate it, the peace deal with the FARC.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one, it kind of, we were actually setting it up and the no vote came in.
Oh.
And it was a kind of, right, what are we going to do now? It's been a year in the making.
Yeah.
We could have to pull everything.
And yeah.
Then, yeah, obviously.
And then Santos nicely pushed it through Congress.
It gives the outsiders the view or the ideal that Colombia is trying to change, it is changing, and like now there's a peace deal, it's officially not in a civil conflict anymore. To offer this to schools around the world to show that it is possible to visit was crucial. I can't think of us being able to do it if the no vote had a stage. I think it would have been incredibly difficult.
Incredibly difficult.
We did a bit of research before. There have been schools, various schools, but very, very few. So to develop it beyond this no vote would have been impossible.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, schools have come and they go, let's say, to central Bogota, Cartagena, maybe central Medellin. But I mean, you've taken it that step further, getting them out into the countryside. I mean, that's the real deal. Is we can go to Comuna Trece because the security for a group going there, the whoever's in charge ensures that it's okay. But getting out into rural Colombia is another story altogether. And so, had the no vote stuck, I think we would have seen a huge decrease in tourism numbers to Colombia, because it would have been such poor press for the country. It's, there are all sorts of issues. We can pick holes everywhere in this agreement with the FARC rebels. But at the same time, half of it is the international image of Colombia and trying to sell what Colombia is overseas. It's not just what happens at home.
No, exactly, yeah. And it's all about the reputation. It's all about how different countries perceive Colombia. And in one of the issues we do have is with the travel warnings. Very slow in getting to grips with reality, in my opinion. They always err on the side of caution, which is understandable, but the wording so harsh that anyone who would read it would think twice about going.
Yeah.
But in reality, I mean, you've just got to be careful of how you paint a picture of a country, because it affects it massively. If we can somehow get beyond this and show that it is possible, then that's fantastic. And hopefully with our video testimonials and photos, that people will see that it's not as insecure, or it's not insecure, it's like it, like they would paint out in these travel warnings.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you're taking people, to places which have seen difficulties, which have seen conflict, which have suffered, communities which have suffered, and so on. But you're not taking them to Guaviare, Cauca, you know, to the sound, to the city of Tumaco, Buenaventura, or anything like that. You know, these places are far better. And that's the thing, is Colombia's so big. Yeah, and you know, you get a negative country warning, and they put the whole country in it, not just the regions.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're quite right to say to mention the I've lived here for 5 years. I know that there are places where I wouldn't take a group of students, for example. Yeah. There's no way that I would risk. That we would put at risk the health, the lives of a group of students. There's no way that would happen.
Yeah.
So it is important to
distinguish.
We know that it is safe, but to be realistic and to take the places that we know that we've researched and that we know the students will be safe. Yeah. There's no doubt that we would do anything different.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be grey overnight just trying to organize a trip down to, let's say, Caquetá or in Putumayo or somewhere like that. It's a different story altogether. Let's not even include those in this thing. But there's so many countries in one here. And the region of Antioquia, they want to move on. You know, they want to benefit and feel the economic potential of the tourism and sustainable and respectful tourism. And that's the thing. And that's why Antioquia will progress. It's very forward thinking in that respect. And of course, in some respects, that's why they've been open to you coming out to these places. Let's take this to the next level. So let's wind this down and say, this has been excellent chatting about it. It's good to get a travel related piece, but travel obviously is, it's related to everything here, the socioeconomics, the political situation, what's going on. And of course, next year is going to be key, 2018, with the presidential elections in May, the first round, and then a little bit later, if it goes to a second round. I'm holding my breath to see who are going to be the final nominees for potential presidential, making a run for the presidential elections. But hopefully they're friendly to international business, the peace accord, security, everything else, you know.
That's the thing. The situation can change so quickly, as you know, here. Let's keep it improving. Let's keep the security situation going strong, and let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens with that. Do you have any groups for next year around the election time?
We've actually got not a school group as yet. We've got a trekking group. We've got a group of trekkers from the UK that are coming to explore Los Nevados and
National
parks near Bogota, and then. About the Páramos.
Oh, nice.
A big objective of ours is to bring awareness to the importance of the Páramos, how they affect the water supply, and how, in theory, they can help by planting. So there's a lot of projects out there. This has been one of the benefits of doing what we are doing, is visiting and getting to know these sustainable projects. There are loads out there. There's just amazing people doing amazing things in communities that you'd never think that it would happen. And so this has been one of the huge benefits of doing it, and let's hope it continues.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing about your future successes with these groups, and of course it will go from strength to strength, because Colombia is going to go from strength to strength. Somebody who prefers to remain unnamed, who I met in the US embassy not so long ago, said that she feels that Colombia will be the next powerhouse of South America, and that's coming from somebody relatively high up in the US embassy. So take your travel warnings and shove them, is what I say. But obviously,
essentially, let's hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
Some advice is in the notes. Yeah. Why not?
But there has to be a lot to change first. We know that Colombia's got a lot of challenges ahead, but that's what we're all here for. We're trying to put in our 2 cents and try and make a change. And so let's, you know, say thank you to Simon Willis at this moment. The boy from Barnsley done good. He's up there in Medellin with his Kagumu adventures. I apologize for my son. I'm on sole parent duty today. So he's here in the background.
It's a ringing endorsement, I think.
There we go. Yeah. So listen, check out kagumuadventures.com if you've got groups that you think of, you know, a bunch of people who want to come experience, let's say, indigenous culture in an authentic setting with respectful and sustainable tourism. Simon is the guy to contact. So Simon, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you for having me. And you're welcome anytime, Richard, on any of these trips.
If I could get off, I've got too much parent duty.
If we start with 2-year-olds, it's fine.
Excellent. There we go. Yeah, he can give you a feedback from a 2-year-old's perspective.
Exactly.
But he's Colombian. Doesn't look it at all. Looks more like a Yorkshire boy. But well, anyway, let me take this moment to say thank you again to Simon Willis, who's there in Medellin. Check out kagumuadventures.com, doing great things around the country. This has been episode 212 of Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. I know you've enjoyed it. We try and keep it interesting week in, week out. We'll be back next week. I have in the pipeline someone from Peace Brigades International wanting to talk to us about situation in, with human rights in the country. So we'll be getting that one recorded before long. And I have promised you, bizarrely, someone who's been working in Barranquilla, but he's Canadian of Indian descent, and he wants to sing some Bollywood for us. So, I get all sorts of requests, and I have to sort of vet them and go through and what have you. But we're trying to keep it vibrant and interesting here in Colombia Calling. Thank you for everyone to listening. That's me signing off for this episode 212. Keep tuning in, keep listening. Thank you again, good listeners. Bye bye.
Yeah.